And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim. I am your host. I am so psyched for this episode to come out to you today. We have Kata Hay on the show, former voice contestant, absolute singing powerhouse, but most importantly, a person. Kata gets really into her life and her story, and it's incredible. This is the kind of episode that this show was meant to be. You know, it gets deep. We talk about a lot of things. You know, we get into some nitty gritty. I'm not going to lie to you. There are some things that, you know, you may want to hear, you may not want to hear, but that's honestly kind of the beauty of this show. And that's how we do things. You know, Kata did exactly what our slogan is. It's all about real people, real stories, and real country. This is exactly what you're getting here today. I don't want to take too much time introing this episode because it is fantastic. It is great. It's human. It's raw. It's authentic. I loved it. I love it. And I'm so happy you guys get to hear it. She is such a sweetheart. She's a great girl. I adore this young lady. She is by far one of my favorite conversations we've ever had. So Kata, thank you for your time and being on the show. If you are new here, go check us out on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and on the whole line. Really, without further ado, guys, our conversation with Kata Hay, we hope you enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
What up?
Hello, hello.
Well, good morning.
Howdy.
What's up, girl?
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm just watching. I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I'm watching two frat boys walk down the street right now.
Sweet.
They don't look like they're normally up this early.
Well, they're
probably still getting over last night.
They probably are. How are you?
You know, not bad. It's early. Well, it's not for me. I'm not going to lie. It's not early for me at all. I've been up since 5:30, so.
I've been up since 6.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I don't know, man. When I'm not partaking in alcohol whatsoever, I don't need more than like 2 to 3 hours a night.
Really?
Yeah, I'm one of those people. That. I really am. Like, and they'll be like, I've always been that way. Like since I was little, like, and when I started drinking, I got where, you know, I'd sleep like somewhere between 4 and 8 hours, but I still like, I don't sleep a lot.
Damn.
I always wake up at 3:30, like always. And if I don't catch it, like, and make myself go back out, that's normally when I'm up. So.
Damn. Shit. Good for you. If I drink,
I don't know if that it's good.
I guess, right? I guess it depends on.
I'm always kind of tired at the same time, but like.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's also being an adult too.
Yeah, I feel like that's true.
You know, I'm tired all the time to a, you know, and I guess I don't even feel it.
you know, I don't think anymore at this point.
Yeah. I guess that's the thing. You just got to push through it.
Yeah. And then, you know, with the kids on top of it, it's like there's no such thing as being able to, like, just stop.
You have how many kids?
Three.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I drink a lot.
You drink a lot?
The oldest is 13. And
you do drink a lot.
I do. The oldest is 13 and the youngest just turned 4.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you got, wow. That's an interesting.
Yep. Yeah.
Girls?
Boys. All boys, thank God.
All boys.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That is good for you.
I don't
That's
know
good
if
for
I
your
could...
wife too, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if I could deal with, and this is we're gonna get graphic here for a minute, but I feel like this is one of those conversations that's just should just be R-rated or whatever. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with like periods and boys coming to the house and shit like that because I'd probably lose it. You know, my wife says all the time that she wishes we had a girl just because she thinks it would have leveled me out and made me a little softer.
Right.
But you know what? I love my boys to death, but some of them are like having girls. So it's all good. It's
you
all
sound
good.
Like you're okay with that.
I am. It is what it is. You know what?
I was married for, 10 years and I had a stepdad.
Shit.
Yeah.
No kidding.
He was like 2 when we got together. So I basically had a kid in a way.
Yeah.
But also my husband was like 16 and a half years older than me. And so there was the same age difference between
Holy shit. What was his 5-year plan? Not to die?
Sorry. He went gray immediately.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. That was always the joke.
Yeah, tell us you have daddy issues without telling us, Kenna.
I don't know that I did. I had parental issues. I had control issues.
Fair.
That's what it was. It wasn't really daddy issues.
Are you an only child?
I am, but I'm not.
Okay.
So the story that was told to me growing up is that I was a miracle. They prayed for me for 10 years. My mom had me when she was 50. My mother had three children before me, but they were born in 1954, 1957, and 1959. I was born in 1987.
Fuck.
So these were like aunts. So my nieces, like, I have a great nephew that's 5 years younger than me. Not a nephew, but a great nephew.
Holy
Does that make sense?
Mother of God. Yeah. No,
I'm practically
totally
like my own grandma or something, right? So
Jesus.
That's like. And then my dad didn't have any kids that we knew of at the time.
Well, I mean, he had you, so.
Right. But then I found out through a stranger on Facebook, long story short, when I was 25 that I was adopted, which I already knew, also, long story short, but it doesn't matter. I found that out. And when I found that out, then my dad pretty quickly found out he had a daughter when he was 14 he didn't know about. So I have siblings, but I was mostly raised as an only child.
Jesus, you are from Oklahoma, huh?
I'm really from Oklahoma, yeah.
Holy
but
Jesus.
I also, my great-nephew Ryan, when my sister died of cancer, Barbie, her grandson moved in with us and was raised as my little brother. So I wasn't really completely raised as an only child. It was never boring in the triple wide trailer.
Guess not. Holy shit. You are like, this is awesome. This is the best 6 minutes of this show ever in the history of the Boots and Whiskey podcast. And you know what? I had a feeling it was going to be from our first like text back and forth to now. Like I was like, this is going to be one of those episodes that's either going to destroy my whole career or put me on the map. One of the two.
That's what I'm good for.
I love
it. Either destroy your career or put you on the map.
I love it. You know what? Whatever.
I say that in my song Contact Eye. I've always been all or nothing, I guess.
You know what? And either way, I'm here for it. I'm excited. So
thank you for doing this.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I love, you know what? I love having people like you on. Not that I've really had many people like you.
But, well, you know, I was thinking as I was pouring my my tea this morning that this is the first one of these that I've ever done without doing a shot before.
Really? Well, yeah, I don't know if I'm
normally,
or...
like, I freak out about them. Because most of the ones I did during The Voice, like, well, which were the first ones I really did, were all, like, with Ellen and people like that, that were all they wanted to talk about was how I was a lesbian. And I was trying to say I wasn't even a lesbian because I was married to a man, but I just happened to have left him for a woman. You know what I mean? So I got where I took shots before.
Hold on.
I don't drink.
Pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes. You ain't read much about me. These are easy facts to find.
no, there's a lot of facts to find. But this is what I don't do, okay? Couple of things I don't do. One, I don't dig deep into my guests before they come on because I want the conversation to be, you know, normal.
I got you.
You know? And two, I'm not going to lie to you. I never watch The Voice because... I just don't.
I don't like those shows.
No, I don't blame you. You know, and from the guests we've had on that have been on those shows, I don't know why anybody would go on those shows.
I went on it because my mother had a dream.
Which, that I would your end adopted up mother or your mother?
My adopted mother. And I went and she called me and she had a tendency to dream things. And somehow they happened. And she watched it all the time, though. And I was on Star Search, you know, when I was 5. I won that.
Yep.
And that was an accident, too. I didn't enter that either because I don't like competition, like, at all. I feel like we all should just get along and hold hands and sing Kumbaya in our own voices. Well, like, but
that's
like,
not reality, bro.
It's not reality, bro, but it's a nice dream, okay? Yeah. But, so... Yeah, she had this dream, and she was like, I dreamed that you're going to be on The Voice, and I think you should pick Blake Shelton. And it was just like, it was a fact. And it was like, 6 months later, I got a message from The Voice that was like, hey, we saw your videos online, and we'd like you to do a private audition. And so I went to Memphis, and they told me that I didn't know who I was, because I sang, to me, it was called The Voice. So you got to show off that you're The Voice. You can do anything. So I sang like a blues song. I sang a country song and a rock song. And that's what they told me. And but then they called me back like a year later to do it again. Same thing. Come back when you know who you are. Like, and it's like, I know who I am. Yeah. And then mom died. And I said I wasn't going to go back. And this was the fifth time. And I just moved to Nashville. Left my husband for a woman and was working at the Wild Beaver Saloon. And they called me and they wanted me to be there in like 30 minutes. And it was around the corner. And I was like, well, let's take 2 shots of vodka and go in our Beaver Patrol tank top and sing the last song we sang while we were running karaoke, which was Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. And that's when they thought I knew who I was.
So you want to know what the best part of this whole story is?
What?
I, too, have a Beaver Control t-shirt.
A Beaver Patrol or Beaver Control?
Both.
Both. Okay, yeah, I don't have mine anymore.
But for way different reasons than what you do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this could, girl.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I think I get what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am. So that's interesting. Now, so... did you ever find out from your adopted mother why The Voice and not, you know,
Idol? No. It's the same reason, dude. When, like, my sister died of cancer, I didn't play for, like, 2 years because I've been singing, like, professionally. That was my first competition when I was 2. Like, but my sister got sick when I was... Well, she had it for 10 years, but she moved in when I was 9, 8, 9, something like that. And so I stopped playing, and then she passed away. And it was probably about, like, a year later, my mom just wakes up, and she's like, I had a dream. Oh. We gotta drive. And we drove to this random, like, gas station, and she got this paper. She's like, we're going to Arkansas. And Dad's like, why are we going to Arkansas? And she's like, I don't know. There's a Patsy Montana yodeling competition. And I was like, a yodeling competition? And she was like, yeah, you've heard people yodel. I was like, I can't yodel. She was like, better start working on it now. We've got 5 hours. And I'm like, okay. And then we get there, and dude, this is funny. It's full connection universe stuff. But this little girl walks up to me, and I ain't got no friends because I'm homeschooled, because I've been singing since I was 2. I felt like, you know, I get real excited when girls my age don't think I'm real weird and want to talk to me. You know, like, and this little brunette girl walks up, and she's like, so I want to enter the international yodeling competition, but we only have 9 entrants, and we have to have 10. And I know that you sing, and all you have to do is do one song, and it's a $25 entry fee, and I'll pay your entry fee if you'll just do it. And I was like, oh, no, I'll enter. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll pay it. I'll pay it. I got my own money. And so you have to sing Cowboy Sweetheart, right? And so they announce the 3rd place winner. They announce the 2nd place winner. Casey Musgraves. This little girl gets so mad. She's so upset because she's worked all year, you know? And then they say 1st place winner, Kata Hay. It was Casey that came up to me. She hated me for 2 years, but then we ended up in a duo together.
Holy shit.
It's a small world after all, you know? Like, and that's because mom had some random dream. And because of that, I started doing I did Western swing, and that took me to Australia. And Jesus, years later, it got me in a Gap commercial with the ad campaign with Cher in it, yodeling. Like, it never would have happened if mom hadn't had a dream, you know? Like,
wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
So when you beat out Casey Musgraves, how old were you?
13. She was 12.
Was she 13 too? Is she all of our age?
She's 12. I was 12. I think she's 12 like now? She's like a year. Well, she's 12 now. Yeah, yeah. Still looks 12. She looks amazing.
Right? Yeah,
Dear God.
Now so was good. Was she? Could you tell that, you know, at that time, was she a name at that time in that era?
No. We were singing Western swing music, and I was starting. She'd been doing it for a while. She was doing straight up cowboy music in like a duo with this other girl, Elena. I don't know whatever happened to her. They were like, what were they called? The Texas something. Like, they traveled around Texas and did cowboy Western music. Like, I think you can still find the old stuff. I still have the old.
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
CDs. Like, she was, there's not, it's not that big of, I mean, it is a big deal. I'm going to take that back. Like, Western music is a very small clique. Like, there's not a lot of people that do actual Western or Western swing. People right. Pretty much know Riders in the Sky, if they know anybody, like maybe Asleep at the Wheel, you know, but I mean, we were playing shows with those guys. Because we were like the only two, there was like two, maybe a couple of other girls. There were some Prairie Twins that were like 13, but there wasn't a lot of teenagers yodeling when Avril Lavigne was cool. You know, that was, that was, but then Jewel came along and made us cool for a hot second.
It's true, though. Like, it's nobody. True.
It
nobody.
Was when I was like 15 and boys started coming up to me and being like, ooh, you can do that thing that Jewel does. And I'm like, praise God for whoever this Jewel girl is. Because before that, I was just Jesse the yodeling cowgirl in these guys' head. Homeschool problems.
So you taught yourself how to yodel?
Yeah.
Can you still yodel?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Is that like one of those things where like, it's like riding a bike, even if you haven't done it in a while, you can
I think it kind of is, because I don't ever do it anymore. I'll go years at a time without like doing it at all. And then somebody will ask me to do it, and it'll be the right day, and it just comes out. I probably could do it. It's early in the morning, and I've got, like, a natural break. I'll hold the phone away.
All right.
Let's see. It is early, man.
Okay.
I don't even know what that yodel was, but
holy shit. I don't think I've ever actually, well, that was fun. That was awesome. I don't think I've ever actually heard anybody yodel in my presence.
I'm in a car. Was that like a drive-by yodeling?
Maybe. No. That's awesome. Damn. So it's funny because now, you know, we had an episode, as we're talking, we had an episode air today that young lady also can yodel. And yeah. Now I'm talking to you that you can yodel. It's like,
who is she? I feel like we all know each other.
Blair Albert.
I don't. I'll have to look her up.
Yeah, she's in Nashville now. She's great. She's fantastic. Maybe
she'll be my friend.
Yeah. No, really. I think she's gonna be huge. She has all the makings. You know, and she's young enough where, you know, I think she's got it. But anyway, we're talking about you.
Speaking of the polar opposite of you.
Right. You're old now. You're all done. No. So once you do this competition and beat out Casey Musgraves, what happens next?
I got my own booth at it might have been the last one. It was one of the last ones when it was still Fanfare. And I was next to Clint Black and John Michael Montgomery, and like I was hanging out in like the artist tent with Rascal Flatts, and they were making me yodel for them and getting my autograph, and it was a very strange universe. And I traveled around doing that, and I won 5 international yodeling championships and recorded 3 Western Swing albums, and the last one charted on the Western Swing charts. It was all my own songs. I was 17. And then I toured Australia when I was 17 and 18. And in between those tours and like touring America, I got a call from a guy in Pigeon Forge, or rather my mother did, that was putting together a dinner theater that he wanted to make a Western show. And he was a big fan of mine because I had just won the Rising Star Award from the Academy of Western Artists, which was kind of a big deal at the time. And so he wanted me to come to this theater, and he was offering me something like close to $70,000 a year to do 2 shows a day, 5 days a week. And even though I was playing a lot, I was paying my parents' bills. You know, we were getting by. It was like somebody was working at home, except the family was on the road, because that's where I could make a living. And so the thought of going to Nashville to me and working like a regular job, like people I knew that went here without any money, just sounded horrifying, because I'd been paying the bills with music since I was 2, you know, in my mind. And Pigeon Forge is only 2.5-3 hours from Nashville. And I thought, man, $70,000, dear Lord. In Oklahoma, you can live off of that for like 3 years. If I can go make that money, hop, skip, and a jump away from Nashville, take that money, get there, write a few songs like my friend Casey and my friend Katrina, and like all these people I knew that were just popping off, but they had money when they came here, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was the plan. And I get to this show, and all of a sudden the show's been rewritten, and I don't have much of a part in it. And it was really God, like, humbling me, looking back. And I needed that because I felt like I could do anything when I was 17. I really did. I didn't think I was the prettiest girl in the world. I didn't think I was the best singer. I didn't think I was the best yodeler. I didn't think I was the funniest. But I thought I was, like, pretty good at everything that I did, you know, and applied myself. I was confident. But maybe on the verge of cocky, you know, needed to be knocked down, I guess. But that's when I met my ex-husband. And, wow, what a trip that was. We'll just not get into details about him personally, but he played upright bass, and that led to us having a band called Kate and the Blaze and a band called the Grassbillies, which opened for Merle Haggard and did a lot of really cool things when we were married. But I also was kind of kept in a box at the same time, and anytime I would start to do well, and it would be like if I applied myself at all, like it was back in MySpace days, all of a sudden I started getting messages from this curly haired girl in Nashville on MySpace for like 6 months. She posted on everything. She was such a big fan. She loved all my songs, and her and her friend Abigail sat and listened to them all the time. And she really wanted to write with me, but my ex-husband was not the kind of man that you wanted to take around underage women. There's a reason he picked an 18-year-old homeschooler, you know?
Oh boy.
And I knew that. And so I never took opportunities like that. And plus, the song on her MySpace page was about Tim McGraw, and that just sounded so dumb to me. But then because of that connection, a few years later, I uploaded a video onto YouTube, and Taylor Swift was kind of a big deal then, and she still liked me, so she posted my video, and I went really viral until, like, my ex-husband made me take everything down, you know, before all this TikTok and everything. I was kind of doing stuff like that a long time ago, like, but, yeah. And then I finally got sick of that. I got sick of, you know, being kept in a cage. But I also, he was the only man I'd ever been with. And I was a good Christian girl and thought, you know, you make it work until, you know, you just can't. And I convinced myself I was a lesbian. And really did probably fall in love with the most beautiful girl in the world. 100%. And if I was a lesbian, oh my goodness, we would still be together. You know, best relationship I've ever had. You know, I'm just not a man. And I was the man. And, yeah. So that didn't work out. And then the Voice happened. And I don't know. Now we're here.
Yeah.
We're back in Nashville, no matter how much I try to leave it. It pulls me back.
Now, you had mentioned about, you know, I think I saw a picture out there in the world with you and Taylor. Like, had you guys known each other? Like, were you friendly at one point?
Well, it's like I said. Like, she was writing me wanting to write with me. So, like, we talked on MySpace and stuff like that.
Okay.
And her friend Abigail, for a long time, used to still comment on stuff. And she had that, like a Fearless contest, and I had posted Love Story because you had to do a song from the album, and she picked four videos out of all the covers on YouTube, and mine was one of them. And then, like, overnight, I went from like 300 subscribers on YouTube to like 20 something because it was Taylor at like Fearless era. Damn. But then, you know, that also put me in front of like a whole different crowd than like the bluegrass stuff I was playing in Pigeon Forge. So
with Taylor, you know, reposting or that video, like it kind of helped you, you know, jump into the next realm of what you were doing.
Oh yeah. I feel like she was like ahead of the game in the, you know, helping other people out, reposting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she is ahead of the game in everything, you know?
She really is.
We should all pay more attention, really.
Right. If Taylor's doing it, it's this.
Yeah.
You know, probably a reason for it.
Yeah. She should be the college course for marketing.
Right. like legit. You know, because
just
really.
Just study Taylor Swift. No other.
Right. Because it wasn't like she went on a, you know, went on a singing show and, you know. Mm-mm. You got discovered that way. Like, she did it from all accounts the way that a lot of people are doing it now.
Yeah.
You know, just grinding.
I mean, don't get me wrong. She's one of the lucky ones that had money.
Oh, but yeah.
There's a lot of lucky girls that come to Nashville. I meet them every day that have daddy's money that don't work hard behind it. You
gotcha.
Know?
Yeah.
So. It's definitely, it may have given, but she would have not been ignored. I don't care if she had came to town in a feed sack.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have been.
Yeah. There, you know, even from that first album, you knew there was something there, you know, mm-hmm. You know, as unlistenable as Teardrops on My Guitar is, like, there was, you know, there's something there.
Oh my God, it's such a good song, though. I really like covering
it. Do you?
Dude, the happiest weekend I have ever had in downtown Nashville, and ever boy down there. Oh my God, they were dreading it. They complained the whole time, like, baloney. Was when Taylor Swift played 3 days, I was playing those 3 days down on the strip, and her people coming into town, it was like sunshine and rainbows
down
on Broadway, which is one of the most angry places in the world on a weekend. Like, people don't realize it, but and even if they come here, they don't realize it because they generally join in on the, you know, drinking festivities and forget most of it. But it is not a pretty place down there.
No, especially like
it was 1985. You know what I mean? And Reagan like was president, and there were.
Yeah,
everyone was free and like, oh, I sang so much Taylor Swift. It was the best. I was so happy. I didn't get to go to the concert, but it didn't matter. I had my own concert.
Have you ever seen her live?
I've never got to. Well, yes. Take that back. That picture that's out. My bluegrass band ended up playing at the same event as her, and it was on this boat. I can't remember what it was called. They still have it. But I saw that, but that was right as Tim McGraw was coming out. Like, that was early. She probably really was 15.
Yeah, because I just went to your thing to look at it, and it doesn't have a date on when this was posted, but even, like, it's like baby Taylor, you know?
By
like,
my hair? Because I only had that hair once. That's probably... Hold on a second. That's probably 2000, and I was engaged. I wasn't married. 2006. So what would that be? I don't know. I don't know.
Let's see. In 2006, we were 25.
Yeah. 2006? Right? No. That's 2006? Not right.
19.
19. So that's probably 19 or 20. So yeah, she had to be like 14.
Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah.
Damn. So,
I'm old.
No, you're only as old as you want to be.
That's true. I kind of like being older.
Yeah.
Right. Honestly, I really do.
You've gone through more than, you know, a lot of these kids have. You know, you have more life experience.
I wouldn't want to be the me that I was 10 years ago, you know?
Well, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. But
amen.
You know,
2020 was a year that taught me a lot of things.
Yeah. So once you get on The Voice and you audition, you do all that shit, and for your blind audition, how did that go?
Well, they fly you out there like a month before it, and they really do prep you. You have, before you ever go in front of the voice coaches, there's four different vocal coaches that they've worked with, literally worked with Mariah Carey and Ariana Grande and people like that, that work with you, man, 5-6 days a week, and choreographers if needed, and they bring in like wardrobe. Usually they let you use your own clothes for like the first round, but if it's not good enough, they give you good clothes. They, you know, do all the things. And also, I don't even care. You have to go through a whole lot of psych evaluations.
Really?
Yeah. That's the majority of it. There was one test that was like 4 hours, and they told me to be completely honest on it. And even though I'd left my husband for a lesbian, other than that, I was still a pretty good girl. Like, I didn't lie or nothing. So I was real honest, you know. I went through a lot with my ex-husband on all of the questionnaires. And I didn't realize when we filled this out that we were going to have to go have a meeting with a psychiatrist about everything that we answered on this questionnaire. So there's like 300 of us, something like that, that go out there for the blinds. They cut like 100 people because of the psych evaluation. Wow. 100%. 100%. Most people were up there for like 15, 20 minutes. Me and my friend Nolan Neal and a couple other people. I only mentioned Nolan Neal because, God rest his soul, I miss him so much. He's deceased, so I could say his name. And a couple of other people were up there for almost an hour with the psychiatrist. And like when my thing was done, the lady looked at me and she was like, I'm going to be honest, you were going home. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah. She was like, but sitting and talking to you, she was like, your stories moved me so much. She was like, you're just really honest. She was like, and I thought you were a hypochondriac because of all the stomach complaints, but I know that you internalize a lot, and some people hit walls and you just soak it all into your stomach. And she starts crying and she's like, will you sing for me? Because I think you're going to win this whole thing. I was like, what? And I sang for her. She gave me a big hug and I was like, well, praise God, you know, whatever. I guess I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but maybe that works out in this contest. Yeah. So there was a lot of that because it's a lot. I mean, but if you make it to the finale, because Allison Porter won my season and I got to go back to the finale and sing with her. So I got to see like how hard she was working. Like she might have been getting like an hour of sleep a night for like the last month. Like, it's your whole world. And then when you leave, the good thing about The Voice, I will say this to anybody that wants to do a singing competition, 100% go for The Voice. But understand it's about the story as much as it is about the voice that tells the story. Huh. More so than the notes that somebody hits. Like the creators have meant for it. It really is a good show, and they don't try to wrap you up in a contract like American Idol. I don't know if it's still that way now that it's new, but I've auditioned for all of them and I've seen all the contracts, and The Voice lets you go. I think it's like 35. If not, it's 65 at the max. I can't remember because it's been a while. Days after your last appearance on the show, you're free from everything. So they basically just give you a platform of millions of people to share who you are and hopefully get them to, like, come follow what you're doing. And that's what a lot of us didn't understand when we were on the show. It's like, ooh, I'm famous now. Like, I FaceTime with Mario Lopez, and he told me I had a great FaceTime face. I kissed Christina Aguilera. I can't go to Walmart without people, like, stopping and trying to kiss me. Oh, my goodness. 6 months later, there's a new, you know, voice season, and I've lost a little bit of weight and don't look exactly the same. And now it's like, you know, once a month, somebody's like, wait a minute, you look really familiar.
Wow.
Do I still have that? Because my audition was a little extra crazy. Yeah, I guess I do. But like, if it wasn't for that, no one would remember me. They wouldn't. If I just went out there and sang Redneck Woman, even if I'd sang it like that, and I do believe that I sang it well, nobody would remember me. There's just so many. It's literally every 6 months. There's 120 something people on The Voice. You go down here on Broadway, I'd say every other bar at any point in time during the day when they're open has somebody that was on The Voice.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
In it. But yeah. I guarantee. Like, there just is. There has to be. And if you're talking just talent shows, there's probably every single building.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Same.
So I got to ask you about the whole Christina thing, because anybody that has seen your, you know, your blind audition, right?
Mm-hmm.
What she says to you, like, I forget exactly what the wording was about, but about making out with you right then and there, like, what in you goes, yeah, fuck it, let's go?
I have no idea, dude. That's another time that I took more time than anybody else. Like, those auditions are usually like maximum 20 minutes long that you're out there. Like, you're not out there very long because there's a whole lot of people to audition. Those are long days for the judges.
Right.
And right before me, Allison Porter that won. She was two before me. She was out there for 47 minutes because they fought over her so hard. And everybody was complaining backstage. I remember that. They were like, it's never taken this long. What's taking so long? And then I went out. And I remember being behind the door and looking through the curtain right like there was like a crack in the door right as their chairs were like turning around, so I saw Christina. And I don't know what happened when I saw Christina, but I like it was almost like I was drunk. Like I like what the hell? I don't know. And I remember I started doing squats because my vocal coach had told me if you got nervous, and I never get nervous, to do squats, and it makes all of the adrenaline, like, you know, go to like your legs and not like be as bad on your vocals and stuff. And so I'm doing squats and the producer walks over to me and goes, what are you doing? I was like, I'm doing squats. And she was like, why? And I was like, because I'm nervous. And she was like, okay, well, you're in a dress. She was like, and we need to get footage. So could you walk and pace and look like you're really nervous for me? And I was like, you want me to get more nervous? And she was like, just for a minute. And I was like, okay. And so I'm like walking and then she pulls me to the side. She was like, honey, it's really okay. And I was like, can I do squats while you're talking to me? And she's like, okay. And so I'm doing squats. And she was like, listen, they're just regular people. I was like, I realize they're regular people. Like, I've hung out with Merle Haggard. Like, I've hung out with so many people, but I don't know, man. It's Christina Aguilera.
Right. She's like the hottest girl in the world. You know?
She's right there. Right there. And she looks like a vision. She doesn't look real. I've never seen someone that looks like that. That's what I'm thinking. And in my mind at this point, I'm a lesbian, you know? Like, too. I'm like, wow. Like... and so she's like, the regular people. She was like, don't worry about it. Like, I was like, okay. And she was like, here's the deal. She was like, if you don't, let's say, she was like, this isn't gonna happen. She was like, but if you don't get any chairs, feel free to go up to each of the judges and say thank you and then walk off. And I was like, okay. And she was like, but if you get one chair, you can go up to that judge and you can shake their hand, you can hug them, whatever. And I was like, you can hug them? And she was like, yeah, they're real people. I was like, they are real people. You can hug them. I remember saying that. It was like I was just in this, like.
Now we got to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check him out, theporchsouthern.com.
Altered universe. And I was like, you can hug them. Okay. Yeah. And that calmed me down for some reason. I don't know why. It was like they were untouchable, you know? And And she was like, and if you get all that, she gave me out. I was like, okay, cool. I'm ready. And they let me out, and I like stomped and ran up there. And it did in my cowboy boots. It sounded like a cattle brigade. Like, and they all laughed. And I was like, I don't know. I don't remember. I really, really don't. I kind of have a shocking moment when she said, make out now. And I turned around and I looked at my girlfriend and my dad, and it's kind of blurry. And it was just like, well, this sounds crazy because people have dreams, I guess, in Oklahoma. But one of my dreams, and ironically, my best friend from when I was 5 was there with me. And I thought I kind of made this up in my head when it was all happening, but this all flashed through my head. Whenever Christina Aguilera kissed Madonna, and everybody forgets about that, you know, because it was just Britney, apparently. But I wasn't even, like, super into any of those people, but I was standing there with my best friend when it happened, and I looked at my best friend, and I said, Jess says something weird. And she goes, well, you always say stuff weird. And I was like, I think someday I might do something like that with the genie in the bottle girl.
On TV.
And she was like, what? And I was like, I don't know. That sounds weird. I don't know. Because the second I walked off stage, my friend Sarah walked over to me and she goes, what in the world? She was like, you do remember saying that. I was like, but you do know that she asked me and I didn't initiate that at all. And she was like, I know. I was like, but was I supposed to not go? Because, right. Dude, I walked off the set and the same producer that told me I could hug them comes up in my face with 2 other people, puts me in a corner, and is like, you're never gonna air. They're yelling at me. Like, they've been so nice to me the whole time. I was like, what? They were like, what were you thinking? And I was like, what was I thinking? What do you mean was I thinking? What were you thinking kissing her? I was like, she asked. And they were like, it doesn't matter. She's Christina. Of course she's gonna do stuff like that. You can't do that. This is a family show. The lawyers are already on the phone and we should kick you off the show, but we're not going to do it, but that's never going to air. Nothing else was said about it, dude. Not a word was said about it. This was in October, right? And I'm like, hopefully some of my audition airs. Like, the process went on. It's leap day. I'll never forget it. February 29th. February 28th was going to be the debut of the new season of The Voice. So about a week before that, so it had been, man, what is that? Like 3 months I sat on this?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell anybody I auditioned for The Voice. I kissed Christina. Nobody's ever going to believe me that I kissed Christina Aguilera. That's how I lived, running karaoke for like 3 months back in Nashville, right? Then one day I wake up to a message from my ex-husband. Like February 20th, something like that. And I haven't heard from him in a year, right? That says, well, look at that. I guess dreams do come true. You did kiss Christina Aguilera, because I had told him that, because I have weird dreams that come to life. And I'm like, that's the only one that's been like that that hasn't. And I was like, but he was a little bit, let's be honest, psycho. And sometimes it seemed like he was inside of your head or had your phone tapped, you know? Yeah. And I was like, he does have my phone tapped. Oh my God. Like, I went right there, but then my phone started, it looked like one of those slot machines in Vegas when you pull it and the thing's going brrrr. It looked like that. And it was like, you are queen. God, oh my God. And I'm like, what's going on? And I go and look at the advertisement, the first one for The Voice, and the whole thing is, oh my God, what could possibly have happened to have led to this moment? And they show the kiss. It was how they advertised the entire season.
Damn.
I spent 3 months thinking I was the devil.
So did you ever find out how and why that whole situation got changed, where they, you know, from them?
Because, dude, think about it. Okay, back then, and this sounds insane. This sounds insane because this was 2016.
Yeah.
So this was almost 8 years ago, I guess. It was a big deal. I really did. When that aired, the next day, I FaceTimed on Entertainment Tonight with Mario Lopez. I was on The Talk. I was on The View. I was on The Ellen Show. I got more publicity than the winner of the show did. If you ask people about that season of The Voice, most people don't remember who won, but they were, if you ask people about The Voice and you say the girl who kissed Christina Aguilera, it's, I hardly ever get anybody that doesn't know who I am. They're like, oh my God. Like it was nobody, girls didn't kiss on NBC. Right. Now guys kiss on NBC. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's not a big deal, but I remember like when it was, and it was not like we made out, but they made it seem like that. I was the girl who humped Adam Levine and made out with Christina Aguilera. That was the story. Like, oh my God, that, you know, and I had a platform and I wish I had kind of used it to like, you know, help people understand things a little bit better. But all I was hearing was all they wanted, like on the show, the way they portrayed my story was I was, and you can't find it now, but, I was this small town girl from a triple wide trailer in Oklahoma. And one day I just decided that I didn't want to be a big fish in a little pond. I wanted to be a little fish in a big pond in Nashville. So I had to start running karaoke. And then my mama died and she wanted me to audition for The Voice so bad that I did. And here I am. That's, if you watch The Voice, that's all I've ever done. I didn't work in to however God I probably did a million shows in Pigeon Forge, you know what I mean? I've done so many cool things. Like it is like my friends, like if I start telling my like my life story or stories about my life, so much of it sounds name droppy that I don't talk about my life.
Yeah,
because I did do a lot of cool things because I was one of those kid performers, like, and I loved what I did. And that's all I wanted to do all the time. And I was lucky enough to be adopted by people who would take me around to do it.
Damn.
Because they didn't want to do it at all. I was not pushed. And anyway, well, I was the pusher.
Yeah. So you get on The Voice, and who did you end up picking?
Christina Aguilera. Although, man, it was hard because Adam Levine sold it musically, and it probably, I don't know, it probably would have been a better decision musically for me. He really did. He spent like 20 minutes and he meant it. He really appreciated me musically. But me and Christina, I, and still to this day, I hope she hears this. Like,
she does too. What the fuck?
She's one of those rare. I feel like everybody has this, but like you meet these people in life, or I have, and it's very rare that it's like I look you in the eye and I've known you. I've known you before. I've known you my whole life. And I would die for you already. And I don't even know why. And it's not because you're famous. Because of her, I ended up at her birthday party and Kylie Jenner's standing in front of me. You don't get more famous than that, but I wouldn't die for her. I mean, I'd, you know. Like, but it's not fame for me. Like I've been around that. She's just a beautiful, similar kindred spirit, you know?
Yeah. And
I have mad respect for her.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and she also has a story too, you know, you know, she worked her tail off to be where she was too, or is, you know,
yes.
It wasn't, you know,
and it's coming back. Woo!
Yeah.
Lord, with that red hair. I like to think that I inspired that a little bit. After The Voice, she immediately dyed her hair red for the first time.
Oh, yeah. God.
I think, I hope that somehow, because she looks so good with red hair. It's a good inspiration.
You know what's funny about her is that, you know, when we were growing up, for me, I was a big Britney guy, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. Britney was great.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought Britney was more attractive than she was, and you know, as I got older, you know, it's like Christina is and was way hotter than Britney.
Yeah,
like way. Like she had this, like she's always had this sass and this appeal that
fire
for some reason just was never, you know, when she was in her genie in the bottle days, just wasn't pushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when she really, you know, became I guess a younger adult, you know, she realized what she had and ran with it. And yeah. God, you know, I think every guy our age thanks her very much for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was real pop. I'm still real popular. You want? It's a great. I mean, like, I don't have to ever do anything for the rest of my life. If I wanted to be like that girl who was just like a lush and like went to parties and like had people buy her drinks, I just have to carry around a picture of me like kissing Christina Aguilera. You're the most popular girl ever. It don't matter unless it's like a 70-year-old granny occasionally, but most of those are like, well, I tell you, she is kind of pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God, yes. It's so funny.
So how far, again, I know some of these answers, but for the people that are listening that may not know, how far did you make it on The Voice?
Top 20.
So were you 19 or were you 20 or were you 5?
Well, it's weird when it gets to that point because they cut it down. They cut each. So like, okay, I haven't thought about this in a while. So there ends up being, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is it 12 on each team? Yeah, so there's 48. So there's 48, and then they take each team, and they do the battle rounds mm-hmm. where they pit them against each other, which cuts it in half. So then I made it through that.
Okay.
And then the next round, they pit you up against another person in the knockouts where you individually perform. And I won that and made it through that. So then there were 3 of us on each team. And we went to the lives, but they brought back one person that had been kicked off and added it to each team. So there were 4. Which made it like a 24. So like there wasn't like a certain number at that point when they get down to when, and then from top 20, they cut it in half that night where it became top 10. And then you're number 10, number 9, number
gotcha.
8.
Okay. They cut
it one at a time. Yeah. Gotcha. I was like all the right. last big cattle call cut, if that makes all right. sense. Yeah.
All right. So then once you're cut, do you get to go home?
Yeah, they let you out the door and they walk you up to a psychiatrist. I'm so not supposed to tell you this.
Oh, and, I don't know anything.
And he looks at you and he says, "Do you want to kill yourself?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "All right, bye."
Wow. You know,
there's another dude slamming doors and shoving stuff off the shelves. I'm like, it's going to be okay, dude. It's just a show.
Right, yeah. Right.
And then, yes, you pack all your stuff up, and you're on a plane at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning the next morning.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sad. Everybody gets drunk that night and then nearly misses their plane and leaves stuff and has to have it, like, shipped back to their house. And or maybe that was just me. I'm kidding. That was my story, but I wasn't.
My girl.
Yeah.
So now when they call you and say, "Hey, can you come back and sing in the finale?" What's the turnaround time for that?
And that was, I went home, I guess. It wasn't even hardly a month because it was quick. Like I said, they were only 10. So they cut down one like a week. It might have. Well, and it was on two times a week. So I guess, retrospect, it seemed like forever, but probably was like a month and a half.
Huh.
Because I went back for 2 weeks when I went back. It was Allison that called me. And she had told me, like, for lack of a better, I know people hate the word witchy. But to me, I've had a lot of people come up to me randomly in circumstances, be like, you remind me of this witch, or are you witchy, or witch, that's scary. I'm like, what's witch mean? I think right. It's that witch we don't understand. That's just a little different. So which word are you going to call it, you know?
Right.
But like, I feel like there was a lot of like spiritual witchiness that went on with my season of The Voice and everybody that was brought together. Like, me and Allison ended up being roommates. When I walked in, I looked at her and I was like, why do you look so familiar? And she was like, I don't know. Why do you look so familiar? I was like, what's your name? And she's like, Allison, blah, blah, blah. What her actual last name is. She's like, what's your name? And I was like, Hey to Hey, which was not my last name when I was 5. And so we're sitting in there and she did like this laugh. And I threw my wallet at her and I was like, holy freaking crap. I was like, you're freaking Curly Sue. And she goes, and I was like, no, you're Curly Sue. You're Allison Porter. My mother used you against me my entire life. And she was like, are you kidding me? She was like, you're Kata Huddleston. My mother used you against me my entire life. We were the 2 5-year-olds that were ever on Star Search, except I actually won and she didn't. But she went on to do movies and I didn't. So our mothers love to like be like, why weren't you more like her? I got to meet her mom. That was cool. She's a cool lady. But like,
that's awesome.
But like, and then we both ended up on Christina Aguilera's team. She was on Star Search when she was 8. Like, and Allison looked at me. She was like, one of us is going to end up in the finale. She was like, if it's me, you're going to sing with me. And if it's you, I was like, you're going to sing with me. I was like, but it's going to be you. And she was like, it's probably going to be me. But, and then so when she called me, she was like, you know what time it is? And I was like, good, you made it to the finale. And she was like, yeah, you ready to come? And I'm like, cool. I'm going to come out there and party the whole time because I'm not actually on the show.
Wow.
Because when you're on the show, you can't leave the hotel. You're sequestered. Like, you're in LA. You're living in LA. But, like, and everybody else broke the rules. But yet again, like, when I can break, like, when I can let my wild oats be out, I do. But I also really am a rule follower, especially if somebody's giving me a good opportunity or I'm working a job. I'm not the kind of person to just be like, ooh, screw the man. It's like,
It's funny you talk about Allison, because you know, she was born not far from where I am, right?
Okay. She's my favorite.
I've always kind of wanted to talk to her, and a lot of the reason why is because of how...
Honey, she's putting out a country single soon. You should reach out to her.
Okay.
No, for real. Like, I think it's November 17th or something like that, and somebody commented on it, and she really wants to be a country singer to begin with.
Does she?
But, like, oh, that's her passion. She wants to live here. Like, she at the heart and soul of it, Allison Porter is a country girl. I know that sounds so weird. But she is. That's why we connected so much. Like, heart of soul, I'm like some sort of New Yorker in a last life, so it balances out. Like, but yeah, she said that it is, that it's a, like a country song. So.
Can I name drop you in my email?
Name drop me. Yes, absolutely. This was a fabulous conversation. Tell her that. She hates interviews too.
Okay. I'll be like, hey, listen, I know you hate interviews. And I'll be like, you know what? I do too. But,
That's unfortunate.
No, I know. I love doing this. This is fun. This has become a passion project that has turned into way more than that. So I do want to, I know I try to keep these on an hour, but I'm just having way too much fun talking to you. There's still so much to talk about.
And I'm here for the party.
I love it. So The Voice is over, whole nine yards, yada, yada, yada. Then what happens?
Oh.
Listen,
let my personal life get in the way of my career again.
Yeah.
Before we
get into it, because you had touched upon it via text, and that's the only reason why I'm bringing it up. But You can talk about it if you want to. You can not talk about it.
Yeah.
Whatever you're comfortable with, Kata, is what I'm comfortable with.
Well, after The Voice, I realized during The Voice.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. Cheers.
I was not a lesbian, right? I'd only been with this man that I'd been married to, and I just thought I hated all men because if I couldn't make my marriage work, that clearly was the problem. I was broken and I was, you know, something's wrong with me. And, but then I got on The Voice and I met men who convinced me that all men weren't bad.
They're not.
That I wasn't necessarily supposed to be with. But, you know, if they existed, there were more out there. And if I was wondering about that, I didn't need to be with the most beautiful woman in the world. That wasn't fair, honestly. And so I left her and I came back here. I was doing karaoke and I was getting a bunch of opportunities. I recorded with Cyndi Lauper. Like, it never came out, but I did it. Like, and that was cool. Like, I was playing good gigs and there was a guy that was on The Voice with me who moved to town. And, you know, I have abandonment issues I've figured out in my years since. And used to be very codependent. And so quickly got in a relationship with him. And we were very different people. He didn't appreciate the working at the Wild Beaver where they smokes. And even though that was good money, he wanted to take off and climb mountains and play like Americana music. And that sounded lovely. It did. But it don't pay the bills, you know? And so I ended up, while we were dating, going back to Pigeon Forge and doing shows there for a hot second, bouncing back and forth, trying to make it work with him. It was not working. Came back to Nashville. And then almost left Nashville and went to Pigeon Forge full time because me and that guy broke up. And this guy that owned this, he ran a show at a place called The Row. You could only play there like 1 or 2 days a week. And you really never made more than like $30 or $35. But he looked at me and he was like, if you'll play here 7 days a week. He was like, I know you're supposed to be in Nashville. And I was like, dude, I'm turning down really good money at that point in Pigeon Forge after The Voice, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll do it. And I did. And I made that like my little home base. And I was making really good money there playing 1 hour a night and started to take it for granted too. And quickly became involved with a young man that was on American Idol and so talented and who also sang at that place. And we were extremely toxic for each other. Extremely. And we stayed together until 2020. When you get locked down in a house with him and your fiddle player and another girl from The Voice, I had a mental breakdown. Like, just a complete mental breakdown. It was the worst breakup. It was one of those where he'd come and knock on the window, you know, once a month, right when I was drinking too much. And I was drinking too much. Quarantine taught me how to drink. I never drank until I was 25, and that's the truth. Period. Yeah. I'd had 2 sips of alcohol until then. But my mom died, and I was trying to figure out how to get away from my ex-husband, so I started smoking cigarettes and drinking on the same night and wrote, I only smoke when I drink. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I spiraled. I was lucky. I got called to play downtown. I was one of like 4 girls that was playing like within like 3 weeks of the world being shut down. We were down there singing with masks on and it was the Wild West. People were getting shot like outside the window at 10:30 in the morning. And nobody was talking about it because COVID was such a big deal. And I got lonely. I drank too much. I was staying at friends' houses all the time. And I met this guy from Baltimore. And he wanted to do a show together. And I go up to his house, and he's got this nice, like, farmhouse. And to be quite honest, I can say this. I signed nothing that says I can't. He was a 27-year-old virgin. You know, he's a good guy. Went to church, loved his mama, had a sheep farm, had a fire engine in his backyard, a 1926 full-size fire engine and firehouse. Like, it was like something out of The Notebook or something, you know?
Damn, yeah.
But there's a reason, you know, somebody is a really good piano player in an Elton John tribute band. And a 27-year-old virgin, and it didn't work out, and he wasn't very kind about it, and sent me back to Nashville with $300, and nowhere to go. I'd never been like this, like, and I just kept crawling in the bottle, like, got sent to a house that was really not good, where they did really not good things, and ran away from it, and the person who was at that house showed up with a gun at the other house because it didn't want me there. So I ran to another house that I knew wasn't the right house to go to. And it was a lady I used to work with. And she had a 17-year-old son that was the only one that worked in the house. He was a wrestling champion. He was 6'2". And he was 17, but I thought he was 18. Not that it matters. And he'd had a crush on me since I was on The Voice when he was 12, and hadn't talked to him at all. He was playing piano. His mother sent me up to his room and sat down on the edge of the bed, and he sat down on the edge of the bed, and he grabbed me by the throat, and he kissed me, and I kissed him back. And then I pulled back because I was drunk, and I was like, what? There we do it. Nope. And I walked to the door, and he pushed me up against the wall, and he did the same thing. And I was like, okay, we gotta like figure out what I'm doing wrong in life. And I went downstairs and I cracked open another Mike's Hard because that was a genius idea. I just wanted to sleep and wake up in the morning and probably go back to Oklahoma for a second and figure out, you know, how to get back on Broadway, because as long as I can make money. And within a month, I'll be paying the bills. But I just got to get out of these houses where this weird stuff keeps happening, you know? And then I woke up to his mom with a gun over me and asked if I had kissed her son. And I said, well, I mean, yeah, I did. I kissed it back. I was waking out of a drunk sleep. And she was like, how dare you? I still buy his underwear.
Oh my God.
Major, and she'd been telling me very sexually promiscuous stories about this young man for the 2 days I had stayed at their house, where I won't go into details. It don't matter.
Wait, she was saying sexual things about her own kid?
Telling me finding him in sexual situations and handling them. So this wasn't a little boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
At all. And he didn't grab me like he was a little boy. And so she was like, she proceeds, you know, with the gun in her hand, get out. So I went downtown at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I ain't gonna lie, I know a lot of bouncers and stuff down there, and it ain't a pretty place at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I ended up sleeping on a gangster's couch with a lot of guns and stuff around in this random apartment that's a bouncer. But it was a safe place to go, as crazy as that sounds, compared to the places I'd been at. And found another friend to go get my stuff out of the woman's house. Took it to another friend's house. And when I got to that friend's house, I got a text message from TMZ on my personal phone number that nobody had, unless you were my friend. So I know where it came from. It definitely came from the family. That said, what are your comments on the warrant for your arrest? And I'm like, warrant for my arrest? And look up, and there's a warrant for my arrest in Sumner County, so I go and turn myself in. And there's not like a specific charge, but he's stating a lot of things in the report that he didn't say on the stand at all.
Yeah.
The story even changed between the report and the stand. I wish I had actually had a real lawyer and they could have pointed that out. Time proceeds. It's not even a month later. I show up for what is supposed to be like a hearing. And there's a new DA. I have nobody with me. And I've been sober a month. Praise God, because I got sober after that. And my friend Nolan Neal died all at the same time. It was time to be sober for a while. And get there, and the lawyer that this another person had gotten for me, that was definitely dirty, came up to me 5 minutes before we're supposed to go in there and says, all right, it's a new DA and they're going for a felony. I was like, a felony? Even in the bad police report, there was nothing that would be a felony, right? And I was like, meaning I'd be a felon? And he was like, yeah, 100%. And they're going to go after it. And I was like, well, what's my other option? He was like, well, you can take a plea. And I was like, well, what's the plea? He was like, you plead guilty to unlawful sexual contact. And I was like, well, what's that? He was like, it's not even with a minor. He was like, I can't even find a definition on it. He was like, but it's a misdemeanor and it'll be off your record in 7 years. And I was like, but if I fight the other and I lose, will I be on a sex registry? And he said, yep. I was like, but if I take this, there's no chance they can do that and I can get it wiped. And he was like, yep. And I was like, well, I did kiss a 17-year-old, didn't I? I was like, what's the worst that could happen? He was like, you could go to jail for a year. I was like, but then it's done and I can tell my story and I'm free? He was like, yeah. I was like, then fine, I'll take my punishment, because Lord knows, you know, at least for drunken behavior, I probably should have been arrested a few times in my life.
Girl, say.
You know? Like, maybe it's time I sit in a cell and learn my lesson, like our boy Johnny Cash. I don't know. Like, it's Sumner County, after all. It's his county.
Right.
And, yeah, so I went in there, and it was the trial, and they pull him up on the stand, and he, the judge rolled his eyes a lot. He did. And he got on the stand, and he said that I pushed him up against the wall and shoved my tongue in his mouth. And the judge said, well, did you put your tongue in her mouth? And he goes, well, I mean, kind of, sort of. Then he said that happened again. And he was like, no, no. And then verbatim, he said, judge, you know how girls, you know, suck in their stomach and like it like makes their pants kind of like stick out? And the judge goes, I guess, where are you going with this? Well, she did that, and then she took my hand and she stuck it down the front of her pants, and my pinky kind of sort of touched her vagina a little bit.
Oh my God.
And then I had to take a shower in my underwear for a month and a half, and I couldn't go in my room. Oh my God, son. And then his mom gets on the stand and bawls like a Lifetime movie. And brings these earrings up on the stand that I had told her were from my ex-boyfriend that I left the girl for, because he got them for me in a really weird way. And it doesn't matter if he's listening. He'll know what the cactus earrings are. It's a story. It's funny. And I'd sat and told her that, but I'd left them at her house. And she so much was a manipulative liar that she got on the stand and said, can I please talk to the defendant, as she's crying. And he was like, no. You can't. And she was like, well, I have something for her. Can you give it to her? And he was like, what? Like, he literally was reacting this way. And she was like, it's earrings that her dead mother gave to her. And I just know that her dead mother would want her to get help. I was so mad, dude, by the time I got on that stand.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was so mad.
Oh, my God.
The DA came after me, and my lawyer didn't didn't cross-examine me at all, and he asked me what my story was, and I said, it doesn't matter at this point. I pled guilty. Oh, he didn't like that. He didn't like that at all. And he said, no, you must tell your story. I was like, I don't believe that I have to tell you my story. I pled guilty to this charge. When this is done, then I'll tell my story. There's no point right now.
Right, right.
And getting in an argument and giving what I know at that point was ammunition for them to become famous on TikTok.
Right. Because that's exactly what it is. You know, that's all I could think about. Is
I didn't know I was famous enough to get on TMZ, or I wouldn't have been so depressed to move to Baltimore for a 27-year-old virgin Elton John impersonator.
But not even just
taking advantage of that. You know what I mean?
Not even just that, but nobody's desperate enough to fucking move to Baltimore.
Well, I was. That's where I was. But apparently, I'm still worthy of TMZ, you know?
You know?
Like, so, I said no. And I remember he was like, clearly Miss Huddleston has no remorse. And it's like, how can you have remorse for something that you didn't do?
Right, of course. Right.
And I'm not saying I'm sorry for all the pain caused. I am, because I shouldn't have went up there to the room. I shouldn't have kissed the kid back. I should have been the strong person I was when I was 17 when boys tried to kiss me. I'd literally deck them.
Right.
Because I didn't want to kiss that kid. It was a compliment. Don't get me wrong. My life's falling apart. I'm 34. 35, I guess 34 at that time. And this kid in my mind's like a 19-year-old wrestling champion, and he's had a crush on me. Well, like everybody who's seen like this, like if I go downtown, most people, like I'll walk in and the boys in the band, it don't matter where it is, they'll go, I went to work for her that summer. They think it's some, you know, I made some young man's life.
Well, yeah, no, well, like
they lost their virginity to some stewardess when they were 14 because they're drummers in a rock band,
right?
You know, like,
well, isn't that
it wasn't anything, there wasn't even any touching,
right?
You know, that part didn't even happen.
But isn't that the fucked up thing in our culture where it's like,
I'm cool for the bad thing that I didn't do. And
right.
In jail, those women wanted to kill me because the women in jail found out that I was on TMZ, and it went around that I molested my own baby, don't have any children, by the way, with sex toys and posted videos on the internet. So they all jumped me, and I...
Dallas Jackson here with Tips to Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tips to Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards, all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
Solitary confinement 24 hours a day for the last 4 months of my sentence.
And but you know, if the tables are turned and you are a guy, holy shit.
Oh,
you
God.
You would
and
have
that's,
gone
that's the weird mess up in my head, dude.
You know? You would have gone to prison for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have.
For the rest of your life.
100%. So it's now, like it's interesting.
Yeah. So,
it's definitely interesting. I got the year sentence, but I only had to serve 6 months because praise God for that judge, you know?
Yeah. Now, so you get sentenced for a year, right? And you do 6 months. So how, at that point, at the 6 month mark, do you go back in for like a re-eval and the judge says, hey, you've been good. Get the hell out of here. Don't do it again.
No, I'm telling you, that whole system thought it was stupid. I was there. But when I showed up, NBC was there. There was a camera crew in Sumner County. Like,
right.
By the time I got into the holding cell, which is like 67 women usually, three or four of them already had a picture sent to them by like their dad that was like, this girl's coming into jail.
Right.
You know? And that jail is 98% drug charges and 95%.
And there's like three families that just live there. And the last girl that gave me a haircut hung herself the next day. You know, you take showers standing in poop. Like, it's top 10, and this is at one point, it might be up or down now, worst jails in America.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a good one. Excuse me, I'm sitting in my car, and my phone is about to die, so I'm blowing on my blower because I do still have an ignition device on my car because I did have a DUI when this mess happened that I was 2 months of my probation being done and it violated, and now I have one of these for 2 months.
But of course.
Not bad. Of course. When you're not drinking, it's not bad.
Right. Yeah, because you became a little further away in sound.
I'm going to fix that. It's because you connected to my car.
Yeah. We'll just edit this part out where we're waiting.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I can hear you. And we're charging.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
So now that all this mess is over and done with, and I appreciate you kind of like,
are you there?
Telling your friend.
You went away again.
Yep. Can you hear
me? Why'd you go away?
I'm here.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, now we're back. We're good.
Cool.
All right.
Cool. So what I was saying is, now that all this shit is over with and done with, now how, first of all, I thank you for telling your story, because it's, you know, it's crazy.
I don't
for
know.
One.
I and might it, regret it. This is the first time I've said my side.
Is it? This is your first time?
Yeah.
Holy shit, I'm using the hell out of that. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, you can.
I mean, but you know what? You got to tell your story, because you know what? There's a lot of injustice out there.
Well, there's a lot of people that have told me I shouldn't, you know, and it's not like I'm going to go into details and spill names and like of people's, but like, as far as like what was said on the stand, that like there was a news camera in there, you know,
right. And
no, I didn't say he grabbed me. That's, and there's also three sides to every story. Like, he asked me, was I intoxicated? I will not tell you that I didn't sit in that cell with way too much time on my hands and second guess myself. It's like, Kata, you were drinking. This kid was a kid. He was underage. It doesn't matter. Did he grab you? Did you grab him? It makes you like, what was I that drunk? No. Is this actually my memory? No. And I will say this. Praise God. It was like a month ago, and it was a real enlightening moment. There was one other person at that house, right? That was there the entire time, and that person was involved with the family at the time. But they tried to write me for like a couple of months, and I didn't know who they were. And when I finally wrote back on Instagram, they were like, I just wanted to let you know that that was all bullshit, and everything was the way that you thought it was, and if you ever need anything. I know you don't know me, but my family's here for you. Oh, praise God. Thank you. All I needed.
That's incredible.
There are people out there, you know, there are a lot of beautiful, beautiful people in the world. But you, like, as a woman, it is very important when you are on your own keep your wits about you. That's all I have to say. I am not against alcohol. True. I'm not against anything in moderation. I think anything can be bad, including caffeine if we abuse it, you know, sugar, true, whatever. Like, be good to your temple. It's a scary world out there sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for telling your story. I really do.
Thanks for wanting to hear it.
Fuck yeah. Now, I actually, unfortunately, have to run here in a few minutes to get to an appointment. But
yeah.
Before we part ways, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I'm so glad we've, like, run into each other and become friends and, you know, all that stuff. You know, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. And obviously, if you ever need anything or just want to chat or whatever, I'm always, always here for you, because you're one hell of a person, and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you too.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And I'll always text you and send you stupid shit. So
please do. I love that.
Now, because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, right? Typically I ask about your favorite whiskey, but if you're sober,
Well, I am sober-minded, honey. I'm going to be completely honest. I got friends on both sides. Ones that want me to never drink again, and then the ones that are like, oh, yeah, just drink with us. But right. I did a lot of Bible reading. And I believe that the main message, whether you believe, you know, Christianity, I also read the Quran while I was in there. And it's funny how much similarities different religions have.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's to be sober-minded. I think alcohol can be used medicinally to let you wind down. It's just when it becomes the numbing of yourself, it's a problem. So at my house, I do still partake sometimes. I don't get crazy, and I keep my wits about me when I'm around other people.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
Whiskey though gives me hives out of everything.
Really?
Yeah. But
are you allergic?
There's only one whiskey that doesn't give me hives. And I want to drink way too much of it when I get it because it makes me so happy. So I do have a favorite whiskey, actually.
What is it?
You're probably going to hate me.
No.
It's not like, you know, like top shelf.
If you tell me Fireball, I swear to God, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, ooh, no, my ex-girlfriend drank Fireball. Wow, that's a young girl's drink.
Yeah.
It's Redneck Riviera whiskey.
Oh, dude, that shit's great.
It's the best whiskey. I do like the grannies, but I like the regular Redneck Riviera whiskey because when I was working there, like I love whiskey. I love the taste of whiskey, and I love how whiskey makes me feel. It makes me a cowboy, and I like that.
I do.
Like, but I, for real, it's something about some dark beers do it too. They give me hives on the back of my arms, but I can throw down a whole bottle of Redneck Riviera whiskey and not have no hives.
You know, it's actually pretty smooth. For celebrity whiskey, it is actually really, really good.
John Rich, if he puts his hand on something, I guarantee you it is a quality product.
It's true. Yep. It's true. He takes no bullshit, and it's awesome.
No bullshit. That's a good dude.
Yeah. Now, what about your boots?
My boots?
Yeah, do you wear boots?
I'm not going to say they don't make Redneck Riviera boots. That would sound so funny. They did make Redneck Riviera boots. No, boots, 100%. I know this. Miss Capizio vintage boots from the 1970s to 80s.
Damn.
Yeah, they were made for, like, line dancing. So I used to wear them in the, like, the Hatfield McCoy dinner show. We did stunts and stuff. So you had to be able to, like, really get around. But they wanted you to look like a pinup girl. So these are like high heel cowgirl boots. They're the ones Britney Spears wore in the 90s. They got real expensive for a while, but I've had like 10 pair of the exact same brown butterfly Miss Capizio boots that I've went through over the last, I've probably been wearing them for like close to 20 years. This one set of boots, but it's different ones. So when they like run out, I don't know what I'm going to do. Those and my moccasins, my mini Tonka moccasin boots, the high ones.
Huh. That's awesome.
I'm rarely caught out of either one of those.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
God, dude, I love you. You're like the greatest in the world.
You're awesome. I've had a blast. I needed this.
Good. I've had a ton of fun. Like
I'm doing this like, oh my God, I said a lot of things.
That's all right.
I think it's all right.
Yeah, I think it's all right, too. I don't think you said anything that's...
I think you know, my mission in life, 100%. Like, you know, at this point, I never thought I would sing again. And I've gotten to. And I'm talking to you. You care about what I have to say.
I sure do.
I think I've been given... I think everything happens for a reason. And I really want everybody in the world to be able to be honest. And open about who they are and comfortable with who they are and be able to live in that because life is way too short to not enjoy being you.
Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. 100%. And you know what? You are being authentically you, and that's honestly, that's the best way to be.
Wow. You too. Seems that way.
Trying. Well, Kata, thank you so much again for everything and being on, and I've absolutely loved having you here, and I cannot wait to talk to you again. And hopefully one day when we get back to Nashville, we can hang out and have some Redneck Riviera. And
I will break a rule and go down to John Rich's bar and have a shot with you.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right, Ken. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Kata. What a great conversation. I know it was long and lengthy, but you know what? You got a lot of information. And like I said at the beginning of the show, that's exactly how I want this show to be every time. Every time. You know, Kata's been through a lot. She's done a lot. She's seen a lot. And you know what? She's still a hell of a fucking person. You know, she's just incredible, you guys. She's absolutely fantastic. And I love this girl. Like I said at the beginning, I love her for her humanity, her singing abilities, her just her as a person. Like, I've really gotten to know this girl. And like, I honest to God, I would take a bullet for her. You know, this is one of the few guests I've ever had that I've, you know, felt this deeply for, because it's like, I think, you know, this industry is unforgiving, and I think it's stupid and all that shit. And this is a girl that has a talent that is, you know, worlds and years beyond a lot of people. And you know what? She's ran into some trouble. She did her time. She's, you know, whatever. All that bullshit aside, fuck off. You know what I mean? Fuck it. Who cares? Like, it is what it is. You know, you heard the story here firsthand. This girl deserves a shot at everything she wants, and she should get it. And I think she's going to prove the world wrong, and I fucking love it. I can't wait for her to put her feet up and flip everybody off. It's going to be awesome. But Kata, thank you again for being here, and thank you, everybody, for listening to our show today. We have more episodes coming the rest of the week, and then we will start fresh season 9 next week. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And like I said at the beginning, it's all about here at the Boots Whiskey Podcast. It's all about real people, real stories, real country. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Kata, again, thank you so much for telling your story. And until tomorrow, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Y'all, cheers. Good night.